Well, friends, we are going to wrap up this series called The Big Chase this morning, and so we're going to land the plane. So next week, friends, we're going to start something brand new, and we're starting a series called Church. Okay, now, here is the thing, okay, because most of us have something in mind whenever we hear the word church, and for most of us, it's a building. When someone says church, we immediately think of a building. And believe it or not, whenever the church began, they did not have a building. They met in homes and they were all over the place. And believe it or not, the early church didn't even have a Bible. And I know for many of us, we're shaking our heads going, well, Joe, they had the Gideons, right? No, there were no Gideons to put Bibles in hotels in the first century. So how did this group of people who had no buildings and no Bibles, no worship teams, no choir directors, no technology. I mean, how in the world did this group of people turn the entire Roman world upside down? And so we're going to spend the next several weeks looking at a movement of people doing some amazing things and asking ourselves if we can learn some things. Now, the second part of this, real quick, is if you know somebody who says, you know what, I don't like church, here is a perfect opportunity to go, well, do you like Jesus? Well, I like Jesus, but I'm not sure about the church. Well, this is a great series to invite them because we're going to look at Jesus and look at the beginning of this movement. So we'll start there. So invite somebody, bring them along. So today, before we jump into this series, I feel like we need to review a little bit. Now, Moses, we've been talking about Moses, looking at the book of Exodus, and Moses was one of those people that was rescued among a group of slaves. The Bible, believe it or not, friends, was written by oppressed people. The Bible was written by a minority of people. And along the way, there's some things that gained traction along the way. And most of us forget that that's how it began. But Moses begins as a slave among a minority group of people. And God uses him to do some miraculous things. And Moses is in Egypt and he's adopted by the Pharaoh's daughter, the king's daughter. And he grows up in relative probably ease. And one day he ventures outside the palace, sees an Israelite being oppressed, being abused, and he decides somebody has to do something, and he then goes out and he murders this Egyptian, runs off to the desert. Okay, it's a bad plan, by the way. Runs off to the desert. Kids, don't pay attention to this. Runs off to the desert, and along the way, God speaks to him and says, Moses, I've seen oppression. I've seen some things going on, and I want to do something about it, and I'm going to invite you to be a part of what I want to do. And it's the same way for you, same way for me. God always invites you and I to be a part of what God wants to do in the lives of people. And Moses, while he's hanging out, probably hanging out in status quo, and he's good with status quo, and everything's working out with status quo. But the problem is that God wants to lead him somewhere else. And the natural progression of faith is always upward. It's always upward. We climb the mountain toward what God wants to do. Now, the temptation is, if you've ever climbed a mountain, I'm not a mountain climber, in case you hadn't noticed, but if you're ever climbing a mountain, you know, you want to get to the top so you can get a breather, right? So you can get at the top, get a breather, and go, man, what a workout. But the problem is a lot of times whenever we get to the top of the mountain, we settle for what's on the plateau. And we sit there and we hang out, and pretty soon we become stagnant when the natural progression of faith is upward, and what God wants to do is to move us into some new places. And God wants us to move on up instead of hanging out. Now, the problem with moving up and continuing up the mountain are there are no easy ways to do that. Anything that you want to accomplish in life, any mountain you want to climb, any dream you have, requires movement and it requires effort, and it is not easy. If you want financial freedom, friends, okay, hear me. Some of y'all need to, this is the message right now. If you want financial freedom, guess what? You've got to make sacrifices right now to have financial freedom. Young people, hear this, right? This is worth the price of admission, parents. Young people, if you want a quality spouse one day, Guess what? You cannot date scrubs, right? You can't do that. If you want a quality spouse, you got to plan for that. You've got to move further up, and it's going to require some time set aside to figure out what it is exactly that you're looking for and the goals that you want to go after in life. And I think it's the same way in faith. That if we want to go where God has called us to go, if we want to do some things that God has called us to do, if we want to live into some big dreams that God wants us to live into, then we move up and we continue to move toward God and what God wants to do and the new places that God wants to call us into. And so today I want to briefly look at a passage in Numbers 13. And the people of Israel, they followed Moses, and he's gotten past Pharaoh, and he's gotten past all the things that are going on in Egypt, and he is leading this group of people into a new place. And God has promised that there are some new things, and there's a new land that we are going to get into. And so as they come up on this new land, Moses says, hey, it's a good idea. Let's send some people into the land to check this out. And so Numbers 13, verses 17 through 20, says, when Moses sent them out to explore the land of Canaan, he said to them, go up there into the arid southern plain and into the mountains. You must inspect the land. What is it like? Are the people who live there strong or weak? Are they few or many? I mean, what is it going to be like to go into this new place that God is calling us to? What's it going to be like? What are the things that we've got to check out? What are those things that we need to pay attention to? And then he goes on. He says, okay, is the land in which they live good or bad? I mean, friends, back to some dating advice here, right? Okay, are there red flags? Okay, because if there are red flags, that is not a good thing, right? Are there good things? Is it good or is it bad? What is it? What are those things that we need to pay attention to? What are the things that are going on? Are the towns in which they live camps or fortresses? Because you're going to have a different strategy for whatever's going on. I mean, if it's a camp, I mean, if these folks are hanging out in tents, this is going to be easy, right? I mean, there's no protection. But if they're in fortresses, if there are walls, that's a different story. We got to plan a little bit differently. Folks, when God calls us into something new, when God wants to birth a new dream in us, we've got to pay attention and do the research to figure out what it is that God has called us to and what needs to happen. And so Moses says, hey, pay attention. What do we need to do? You guys go out, check this thing out, and figure out what we need to accomplish. Is the land rich or poor? Are there trees or not? And then he says this thing that I think you and I need to hear constantly. Be courageous and bring back the land's fruit. Be courageous, be bold, go into this thing. And church, hear me. When God calls us to new things, and when God calls us to new dreams and new places, because we don't want to hang out on the plateau. Anybody ever whitewater raft? Anybody ever do that? I've done it like one time. And here is the thing. When you are in the white water, you want to use the paddle, right? Because the river is going to take you where the river wants to take you if you do not use the paddle. And so you paddle through that current. You don't just hang out in the current. And it's the same way for anything that God has called us to. We can kind of sit along the side and sit in our boat and just let the stream move on. Or we can use the paddle to guide ourselves down the stream and go where God has called us to go. Because God calls us to take risks and to move into some new waters and some new territory. And so we need to use a paddle to get where we're going. And so Moses says, hey, be courageous. And they go in and they inspect the land and they see things. And then here is what they find. It says, everything we have been told is true. I mean, Moses, God said it was a promised land. It was flowing with milk and honey. It was going to be amazing. And guess what? It is exactly as was promised. Everything looks the way we thought it was going to look. And then the problem, and then there's a problem, right? Because all of a sudden somebody's got a big butt, right? Oh, but somebody's surprised I said that in church, right? Kids, you can get away with that as many times as you'd like. But God, but Moses, there are powerful people
in the land. I mean, they are gigantic. These giants are huge. There's all kinds of problems. We can't do this. And so, man, it is just not going to be good. I mean, come on. Everything is too big for us. Everything that God is calling us to is too big. And at the core of this, at the core of everything that's going on, is a matter of trust. Can we trust God? God has got us this far. God has taken us this far. But can we trust God to move us into these new places? God has brought us here, but can we trust God to bring us here? Now, you may be sitting here going, okay, Joe, I don't know that any of this relates to me, but let me, I think it does. So here's where I think it does. It's because for most of us in the room, probably the majority of us, we've had a faith experience where we've trusted Jesus as our Savior. And God says, I think the Spirit says, well, that is awesome, and I am so thankful that you have trusted me as your Savior, but what are the new things that I want to lead you to? What are these new steps? What are these next things in your salvation story and your salvation relationship? What are these next things that I'm calling you to? Because, man, that salvation's great. The people of Israel, they've been rescued. I mean, they're no longer slaves, right? But God says, hey, I want to do some other things. I want to lead you to some new things. And so here's my question for you and my question for me. Do you and I really want to chase something that does not involve God doing something too big? Do you want a too big life or do you want a mediocre life? Young people, you need to hear this. Do you want a mediocre spouse or do you want a great spouse? Do you want a mediocre marriage or do you want a great marriage? I mean, which is it? Because all of your decisions that you make are going to require a little bit more. I mean, if you want a mediocre spouse, they're all over the place, right? I mean, we all know people in marriages to mediocre spouses, right? Let's not raise our hands or mention their names. But we know those folks, right? But do we really want to trust God for small things? Or do we want to trust God for big things? I mean, I had a long list of everything I needed whenever I was looking for a spouse, and it was going to be a miracle if I ever found one. And luckily, I found Tina, because it was going to require a miracle for me to marry that far up, right? So do you want too big, or do you want small? Because God has given us grace, and grace is good, but the grace God has given us is not enough to get us into the new things that God wants to do in our lives. And fortunately, there is one person among all these folks who is a voice of reason. And Caleb says this. He says, we must go up and take possession of it because we are more than able, because it's God's abilities. It's not our abilities. It's God's abilities. If God has called us to this, if God wants to do something, then God is the one who's going to provide. God is the one who's going to lead us to some new things. And I think we are more than able because of what God wants to do. And so, friends, quick question, then we're going to move on. I'm not going to meddle. But what is the mountain that God is calling you to climb? What is the big thing? Are you hanging out on the plateau? Are you good with status quo? But what is the big thing? What is the big mountain that God is calling you into? What is the promised land of what God is calling you into? Now, you know, Moses was not the only person to ever deal with doubt among a group of people. Jesus dealt with this same thing. And Jesus is leading his disciples, and they're traveling, and he's teaching. And as he's been teaching, he has began to kind of create have a crowd follow him. And this crowd is out in the middle of the wilderness. And so Jesus decides that, you know what, all these people have been with me, and somebody needs to give them some lunch because they are all hungry. Okay, now I mentioned lunch, somebody's like, Joe, I'm hungry right now. But here they are, out in the middle of the wilderness. I didn't bring any snacks, we'll move along. But here they are, out in the middle of the wilderness. And then Jesus does something. And he says, it says, Jesus looked up and saw the large crowd coming toward him. And he asked Philip, where will we buy food to feed these people? Jesus said this to test him because Jesus already knew what he was going to do. And in this moment, now church, hear this, in this moment, Jesus is inviting Philip to be a part of ministry. Jesus is inviting Philip to be a part of the miracle. And Philip is kind of looking around. And he's like all the other disciples going, well, Jesus, there is not a McDonald's up here where we can get a Happy Meal for everyone. And if we get a Happy Meal for everyone, that is going to cost a lot of money. And Jesus, I don't know, have you looked at the church budget? It is small. So we got 5,000 people out here that you think we ought to feed, and there is no McDonald's, there's not a budget, and so I don't know what you think is going to happen. But Jesus, something miraculous has got to happen. And Jesus invites them to be a part of this. And all the disciples see are limitations, they see problems, they see obstacles, instead of moving forward into what it is that Jesus has called them to. And those of us who can only see what's in front of us and behind us, we tend to see problems. But those who understand that they're living the call and purpose of God see possibilities. And church, hear me. This is all you get. This is good. You and I are to see possibilities. Because God calls us into possibilities and promises. He doesn't call us into, oh, we can't, we can't, we can't. God doesn't call us into big butts, does he? Right? Somebody's like, well, maybe some people, right? But he doesn't call us into that. God calls us into bigger things. God wants to do some great things. And he invites us into possibility. He invites us into this abundant living and trusting Christ and moving forward into what it is that he calls us to. Mike Slaughter says it this way. He said, God wants to birth a miracle through your life's work, but you must be willing to receive it by submission to Jesus' authority in your life. God wants to put himself on display in the midst of our lives. God wants to lead us to some new things. And God wants to birth dreams, and he wants to birth miracles. And the thing is, a lot of times we're looking at other people going, well, I think these other people can do this, but I don't think I can do it. And God goes, oh, no, you can. You can. I want to birth a miracle through your life's work. Church, hear me. I think God wants to birth miracles in the church, right? I think that's one of the reasons why we're here. That's one of the reasons why we're on the corner of Broadway and 3rd. Is because God wants to use this corner to do some miraculous things in the lives of people. And you and I are sitting here going, hey, okay, God, where is the promised land? Lead us to this promised land so that we can see you to do some miraculous things in the lives of people. And realize dreams require real commitment and investment. Now, we can talk all we want about dreams. We can talk, young people, hear me again, this is free. You can talk about a great spouse. You can talk about great relationships, but guess what? That takes work and preparation. That takes learning how to look for the right person instead of just settling for any scrub that shows up on the street, right? Any kid that knocks on the door and wants to take you to a dance, that just does not work. But real commitment, real investment, real things that we have to take steps and we move into some different things. You know, think about this for a minute, okay? I went to Chiefs training camp this past week. And while the Chiefs are preparing for the season, this is a great, great thing, by the way, but while the Chiefs are preparing for the season, they can't show up on opening day and go, man, I hope we have a great game, right? That does not work. Anybody ever play on a team where the coach said, hey, we're just going to show up to the first game and that's about it? I mean, maybe you played for a coach like that and they didn't last long, right? Because there's steps, there are things involved, and realized dreams require real commitment and real investment. This is true of ministry. This is true of churches. This is true in our personal lives. And then finally, God-sized dreams impact real people. When God births something in you and he births something in me, it involves other people. It involves other people around us. It involves our neighborhoods. It involves our schools. It involves our community. It involves our community leaders. It involves everyone around us. And it's not just about us. It's about what God wants to do. Because success is not about what we achieve. But success is about who we invest in. And so here's my question, friends. Here's what I want to land this on. So who are you investing in? Who is the person? Who are the people that you're investing in? Because God calls us into some new things. God calls us to take some steps and take some risks. And I'm convinced the test of your life and the test of my life and the test of any God-sized dream is people and what God wants to do in the lives of people. Now, I have dreams for my kids. I don't know about you, for those of you who are parents or grandparents, but I've got dreams for my kids. And one of my dreams for my kids is that they don't get to this place where they leave church, right? And then they take a break for 20 years. And then they have kids of their own, and they go, oh man, I guess I got to figure this out, and I need to get back to church. That's not my dream. That's not my hope for my children. And so my dream for my children is that they have great relationships, that they invest themselves in the church, that they be a part of the church, and they see what God can do in their lives and have a radical relationship with Christ. Several months ago, Tina and I were visiting some friends in Colombia. And while we were in Colombia, Tina and I went and hung out with a friend of hers. And then the girls went to the Wednesday night youth group at this church. And you normally don't just turn your kids loose with people you don't know. But we know our Emily, our friend, and Scott, we know them. And so we felt like we could trust our kids at this church. And they went on this Wednesday night gathering. And so we got done, we got back hanging out with Emily, and so we went to pick them up, and we got in the car. And my children had such a church experience that they could not talk about it. That they were so emotional about what they had experienced that they could not talk and communicate about it. And so Tina had to tell me about the things that they experienced. And I'll never forget both of them talking about, after they got past the emotion, saying, you know what, I want to be like those young people. I want to be that on fire for Jesus like those young people. And I was like, oh my goodness. I don't know what, I felt like I needed to go hang out with these folks to figure out what happened. But here's why I tell that story. That's what I want for my kids. I want for my kids an experience with Jesus that goes and transcends and moves beyond. And I think that's what we all want, right? We all want those things. And so my dream is that God does that in the lives of my kids. I don't know what your dream is, but those dreams affect other people. So let me finish with this. So Moses and the Israelites travel, but Moses does not get to see the promised land. However, Joshua, several years later, steps foot in this promise that God has given. And God makes a promise, and he says to Joshua, he says, every place you step your foot, I'm going to give to you just like I promised Moses. Friends, you and I are living on a promise of God wanting to do something in the lives of people. And we are one part of that promise. Now, a lot of times we look around. I got to walk in front of this friend, sorry. But we look around and we go, man, there are these rock star Christians. And Joe, I'm not a rock star Christian. I'm just a normal Christian. And God says, oh, no. You're all rock star Christians. You're all amazing people. I want to use each one of you. And if you have ever seen dominoes, anybody ever watch dominoes or watch one of those things where they just knock down all these dominoes and they go all over the room? I should have given you a video, but I didn't. You have to use your imagination. But the thing is this, is for that domino display to knock every one of those dominoes down, it has to begin with one. It starts with one. And as that one domino hits those other dominoes, each domino does its part in the process. And friends, I think Jesus is the main domino, by the way. So I don't know if I would pray that way. But I think Jesus is that beginning domino effect. And as Jesus changes one life, that one life then changes another life. That one life, that next life changes another life. And you and I are invited into that. and we are a part of that process. And so this morning, as we sing this final song, Jacob, if you'll go ahead and come up. As we sing this final song, I want to invite you to come forward. Come up and grab a domino. And I want you to do two things with it. One, I want you to take it home, obviously. But remember that you are used by God. And number two, that there is someone else that your life affects. And so I would set this somewhere in your home where you're going to see it, and I would pray for it daily. God, use me to be that one domino. And I pray for those other people that my life will affect. Would you pray with me? God, we come before you, and we ask that you would use each one of us in a significant way. And that, God, that you would impart your dreams and your spirit into our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.